You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.
How's it going, Los Angeles? This is The Startup with Monique Leray. I'm Monique Leray, back with you for another episode. Happy June. And I brought back, I think, a fan favorite, someone who wrote a book that is really making waves in the business industry. Brad Englert, thank you so much for making time to come back to The Startup. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. All right, Brad, why don't you introduce yourself? We'll go full screen. You know how we do it here. Introduce yourself, your book, and who you are.
Hello, my name is Brad Englert, and I'm an author, an advisor, and technologist. And I spent 22 years with Accenture and was a partner for 10 years, and then served the University of Texas at Austin for 8 years, 7 years as a chief information officer. And this book is really a compilation of 40 years of stories relating to building authentic business relationships in the workplace. And I was fortunate in my career to have great mentors and bosses. I only had like two clunkers, and I enjoyed mentoring as well. And now I still mentor two or three people now that I've retired from the university. But I wanted to have a broader audience and reach more people, help more people. And so that's why I wrote the book. You know, I just can't clone myself. So I thought the book was the next best thing.
Yes, yes. And we love having you here. I know that right now, being in the thick of getting my MBA and an entrepreneur who I'm currently shifting things. I mean, a lot of people are. Right now, Brad, I think that a lot of entrepreneurs are probably asking the question, how do I shift? How do I move in this moment where so many things are changing all at once? Unseen things, some things that we could probably see coming. How does the average startup entrepreneur really harness the power of your book, your knowledge for 40 plus years as you know, in the industry and as a professor? What tips would you give someone that's saying, hey, I'm struggling right now, how can I shift? What would you tell them?
I would start with those relationships in business that are closest to you. And those would be your direct reports, all your staff, executive leaders, and if you have a boss, your boss. And it's pretty simple, really. You just have to ask each of those groups, what are their goals and aspirations? And then set and manage expectations. And finally, genuinely care about their success. If you do that, you will be very successful in business. And that's the internal sphere of influence. The external would be customers, peers and influencers, and strategic vendor partners. But in all relationships, you got to understand what the goals and aspirations are, set and manage expectations, and really care.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Amen. Having those conversations and being transparent and caring, but also listening, right? And controlling what you can. I think that in one of your chapters, you really talk about the relationship with the management, right? The C-suite or executives within the internal driving force for your businesses. Can you expand upon that? Like, I know a lot of companies are reimagining that, looking at those spaces, right, and seeing where they can kind of keep it slim, if you will, but still keep that talent on board. What do you think in your 40 years have you seen? Have you seen anything unique in the trends now in business that we can help apply C-suite executives?
Well, I think there are some longstanding trends that you can tap into, take advantage of. For example, there's a dirty little secret. A lot of organizations do not have a strategy. Well, that's crazy. And so the first thing you want to understand if you're working in an organization is step back and learn more about not just your area, but the entire purpose. What is the mission of the organization? What is the vision? Meaning, where do they want to be 5 years from now? And then what are the values? And make sure your values align with that. Most companies have this on a website. You know, it's not secret. But some companies don't have a strategy, and that makes it harder.
Yeah, I hear you too on that, you know. And I remember meeting someone named Angela Yee. She's an on-air personality on the East Coast, in the East Coast market, but she was on a famous show called The Breakfast Club. And she told me in person, I asked her, you know, how do you stay on top of that? She said, I refine my business strategy constantly. Yes. I look at quarterly and see, is it meeting the goals that I'm, you know, that I currently have? Is it outdated? What have I updated in my world? What has changed? And I don't think that that's a small detail to overlook.
No, it's, in fact, it's the most important thing to focus on. When I got to the university, they needed an IT strategy. So they're spending a lot of money, millions of dollars, with no strategy. And I was able to talk to 300-400 people on campus and find out what are the highest priorities, and then focus our resources on the highest priority. So the highest priority was the learning management system was horrible. It was buggy, it didn't scale, and they wanted a new one. So students and faculty actually helped pick the learning management system we're using, have been using for 10 years. And that's a Canvas learning system, which is designed for the cloud as secure interfaces. And they helped define the second strategy, which is student email was horrible. They picked the student email. And so when I took these decisions to the executive leaders, the president would say, well, what did the faculty and students think? And I said, well, they evaluated all the options and unanimously endorsed this recommendation. And the president goes, let's do it.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong. I don't think it's a hard and fast rule against going internal and asking the people who are using these systems, using the business plan, or attempting to an outline and seeing if how rickety it is and or outdated it is. I love that you garnered the help assistance, the feedback from the people.
Right.
Yeah, because they're the ones that are going to know the most about it. You know, that's interesting, Brad. Really interesting. Now, all right. Right now, if you were looking for a prime candidate for your, let's say, an executive coach package, or, you know, to spend some time with per month for the next quarter, or, you know, a company, a startup, an influencer, a C-suite executive, someone that is really moving the needle for entrepreneurship and has, you know, a really good future. What kind of industry would you perhaps be looking in? What person would pique your interest? What are you looking for? Who do you think that would best benefit from the value that you can add?
Well, I think definitely people who are in the beginning 5-10 years of their career, because a lot of the principles I talk about are not taught in business school. But they're so fundamental for being successful. I was taught many years ago that the person I'm working with today could be my boss later, could be a client later. And in fact, the fellow colleague who worked with me on my first engagement became a chief information officer 25 years later, same time I became a chief information officer at the university. So you need to not only create those relationships, but nurture them over years and decades.
Indeed, indeed. And you're right. I mean, I too come from that similar train of thought where, well, it couples with you're only as good as your last gig, or, you know, sometimes the last person you work for could be your boss, you know, in entertainment, reality cast. We often come in and kind of help one another, and it's like, oh, you worked with so-and-so. Well, I'm the boss on this one because maybe someone liked the way I did things a little bit more, but you like the way that former boss you worked for, you hire them. It's kind of seen as good karma in my industry, and yeah, to scratch each other's back, and kind of almost expected as well. Like, if you have a gig and they hired you on the last thing, you better be looking for them on the next thing if they did something.
Well, if you're successful together, success breeds success. At Accenture, 80% of our clients are prior clients. Why? Because you were successful together. And it's a lot less expensive to sell to an existing client than start with a new client. I mean, it's a very tall mountain to climb. The success rate's like 50%, where if you're selling to your trusted customers, it's 80, 90%.
Yeah, the synergy is there. So what are some hard and fast rules that you live by? Let's say you are, because I really wanted to kind of shift a little here and garner some of your expertise and your wisdom here. When it comes to, I had a client on a week or two ago speaking about updating clients' expectations and really being communicative about deliverables, what you can do if things shift, if you're in a ever-moving market of things that you're, you know, delivering for your client, and having that open dialogue with them so that you can meet the needs, you can meet the deliverables. What in your experience works best when communicating and managing clients' expectations, would you say?
Well, if I'm working with executive leadership, I like a one-page project charter, which what's the scope of work? What are the objectives? What is the scope of work? What's the budget? Who's going to work on it from their organization and my organization? And then what's the schedule? And then revisit that every month as you're working through it, because things will get off alignment and you need to get them back on alignment. I had a chancellor in the university system. I went through the project charter and I actually gave him a draft of the table of contents of the strategy we would deliver. And he said, well, can I have 10 pages here? It's like, of course you can, you know,
yeah, but it was together.
It was aligning that from the very beginning, and 7 months later, we had a unanimously endorsed strategy for that university system, and which resulted in investment in the network, a digital library that serves 250,000 students. I mean, it was really amazing.
Wow. I mean, you really have a lot of things. I mean, when you think about it, do you get overwhelmed with like the markers in your career that you've been able to achieve and overwhelmed with great gratitude, right? And like, wow, I really helped to do this. And how do you springboard those things and keep motivated? Like, because it sounds like you've just done so much, including the book. How do you stay pushing forward?
Well, I enjoy helping people, and so I'll continue to mentor. I'm also working on a half-day workshop. A woman who worked for me at the university went off to be a consultant, creative consultant. She's fabulous. So she's helping me develop a half-day workshop where I can, whether virtual or in person, help people practice some of these skills, like setting expectations or asking how to ask your boss what their goals and aspirations are. Not all bosses are open for that discussion. I liked having the discussion, most do. But I had one boss who said, I'm a chess master and I'm not going to tell you where I'm headed. Well, his 7 direct reports were less effective because he didn't tell us where he was going. And when he left, it was just a surge of productivity because we didn't have someone who didn't take advantage of their direct reports by sharing what their goals and aspirations were.
Yeah, the transparency level I think is important for success and really leaning into the team. And I wonder what that's about. I often, you know, can relate a little bit like in the earlier days of my casting career, being kind of a lone wolf and going out and keeping it close to the vest. I don't really want to know my cast. I don't want to share my casting secrets with everyone coming in and being the savior. But for longevity and team building, that really is not a strategy that you're going to have, wins with people forever.
Right. Well, the other thing I talk about in the book is things will go wrong and you need to be ready to apologize. And if I had a staff of 330 people, wow, and 52,000 students, 4,000 faculty, 21,000 staff, what could possibly go wrong?
Nothing.
And so when things, I would say to my team, things will go wrong. It's how we deal with it that'll make the difference in how we communicate and apologize, let people know what we're going to do differently in the future. And it's not a weakness, it's a strength. Now, you can't over-apologize. So that becomes, you know, you got to apologize in moderation.
Yes, I agree. Transparency and honesty is great, but you do have to have some confidence and you do have to keep some things to yourself. You don't want to give away all your sauce and keep some dignity. All right. So I want to do something a little off the cuff. Now, Brad does not expect this, but this is the startup and we kind of roll with it. Brad, I want you to open up that book and if you could select a paragraph that you're really proud of that maybe people wouldn't expect would be in the book, a value add for today's executives, startup entrepreneurs, and such. And let's, you know, give them a little insight of what you're offering. We can get some books ordered today.
So I had a state government human service agency who wanted an electronic medical record. This is in the 90s, so before they were very common. And we had medical directors from 15 inpatient facilities work with us on the pilot. And they were so passionate in terms of making sure the software was set up correctly, the training was correct, the policies were correct, that when the first facility went live, they said, "We're not waiting. We all want to go live sooner." And so they all led the implementations at their facility. And we finished an 18-month project 6 months early. And if in the IT world, that's unheard of. but it's because we understood what their goals were. And we were all in it together for them to be successful. And that's one of my favorite stories.
Wow. All right. So are you going to read something for us? Hold up the book.
Sure.
And you got Brad Englert, and is an expert at really partnership. Oh, hello. We're live in Laguna, everybody. Brad, they're waving at you.
Okay. So one client, Sharon, said that she could not afford to retain a firm like Accenture to implement a new payroll system. She wanted to retain contract programmers so they'd be cheaper. I cautioned that although their hourly rate would be lower, they would not bring the project management expertise and experience for her to be successful. Well, fast forward 9 months, the payroll system implementation was late and the interface, the accounting system, did not work. And after this happened, she called us for help. I asked, "Why didn't you call us in the first place?" Sharon's reply was, "We needed to burn our fingers on the stove first." Flustered, all I could say is, "Why? For the love of God, why?" And we went on. At the end of the engagement, it was very successful. And she said, "Our team's chemistry was a once-in-a-lifetime thing."
Wow. I mean, your excitement about sharing that excerpt, and thank you for doing that. I love that you have this, you do have this warmth. It jumps off the page. I'm sure people do it. It's almost like, come to Brad, you guys. He'll make it better. You know, come to Uncle Brad. And I wonder where you got that from. I don't know if you know that about yourself, but it does. It feels like a warm cup of soup, or come to Brad and we'll help.
Well, I was a high school teacher between undergrad and graduate school in Australia, and I enjoyed teaching. And after graduate school, when I joined the firm, you were expected to teach. And so after 22 years, 3 months before I'm retiring, I taught a course in our training center, Global Training Center, to 200 people from all around the world on project management. And it was just so much fun. And so I just enjoyed that.
Yeah, I think you've got it down, Brad. You're just having fun in the moment. Entrepreneurs, I'm guilty of this. We forget to have fun.
We're
dealing with invoices and bills and rent and family and friends and boyfriends or girlfriends or whatever, and pets, and we forget to have fun. How have you kept it light and had so much fun?
Well, you have to laugh sometimes. Some things are so crazy, you just can't even, you know, especially at the university where just crazy stuff would happen. But I think the key is to be intentional. What are those relationships you want to focus on? Because you can't focus, you can't spread yourself too thin. That'll be superficial. It won't get you anywhere. So be intentional. Who is your most important customer? Go meet with them. Talk with them. Ask them how you're doing, how we're doing. And like you say, that's just more fun. I had one client who we were serving, and he had one of his people kind of helping, but every time he'd help, it would break something. So I took this executive to lunch and described what was happening. He goes, "You're firing me as a customer, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes, I am. This didn't work. I'll buy your lunch and I won't charge you anything." And then later down the road, you know, we were able to serve his organization in a much more appropriate way.
Yeah, sometimes you have to fire clients. You can tell them time and time again. That's another thing, right? Managing what you can do. And also as an entrepreneur, and a lot of us come from a background of wanting to make it happen and maybe not having a lot of control in our personal lives growing up, but wanting to have control of what you can create and be great at it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oriented and being obsessive about it. When is it okay to fire a client? How do you do that, Brad?
Well, it's when they're not treating you or your people well, and or when you're not the right answer for them. So I had a client who their executives rewarded them for asking for free stuff. And I said, "I don't do free stuff." "Well, a firm like Accenture should know. You should have done what you..." I said, "We knew, but you didn't ask for it, so we didn't bid it. I'd be happy to do a change order." And then when we finished, I said, "I'm not working for you again. I'm deleting you from the client database." And you know what she said? She said, "I don't blame you."
Wow. So they kind of admitted that they were pushing the boundary.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. It was like a kabuki theater.
It totally is kabuki theater. Yeah, and you're right. There are clients that will push the boundaries and try to milk it. They're not thinking longevity, or the world is small, or in my case, in my industry, it's less than 6 degrees of separation. They're not thinking.
Yes. Yes.
Cause and effect, and people know people. They're thinking, what can I do to milk this for the... So let's hold up your book one more time. Let's look at the book cover.
And I have an ebook, and it's on Spotify, so it's different modes.
Different modes. How are the sales going so far on Spirit of Influence, Brad?
We're really pleased. On Amazon, we're a bestseller in three categories: leadership training, mentoring and coaching, and customer relations. And I just think that's right where that was our target. So I'm very pleased with that.
That's your sweet spot, right? What a kick. Congratulations. Thank you for putting these things together once again and coming back and joining us and recapping. I'm excited to see where your spheres of influence go. Who knows? Maybe we'll see you on a TED Talk or...
Yeah.
Leadership, talking to people. And it's a joy, a pleasure, and honor to tap into such a pillar of information. And thank you for being here on a Sunday.
Oh, you bet. My pleasure.
All right, guys. Brad Englert, Spheres of Influence. Get his book. So you're on a startup here with Monique LeRae. I'm outside. It's beautiful. The June gloom is burning off. I want to give thanks to our sponsors, some of our sponsors, of course. We want to give a shout out to Michael Solberg Family Wines, Next Level Global Solutions, Dr. Jess. We also want to give a shout out to everybody that just watches, who supports, who comments, who's, you know, reaching out to me in the chat or pre-congratulating us on 5 years. We are trucking along. We're hustling. We're working on it. If you are an entrepreneur, you have a startup, you have questions, you want to be on the show, you want to tap into our database of startup entrepreneurs, come and chat with us at The Startup with Monique LeRae. You can Gmail us, The Startup with Monique LeRae at gmail.com. Also a shout out to Iron Lace, Jules, thank you so much for your support. And I feel like we're missing somebody because I'm looking at the tag in my head on our banner. But if I am missing you, I want to thank you to LA Talk Radio, who has housed us for almost 5 years. Now, we are looking to grow the brand, more platforms, more views. I think last time I spoke to Sam, 15 to 25,000 listeners and viewers per month on all across all platforms. So I want to say thank you for taking time to spend with us. And you have a lot of options when it comes to content. I know we're doing something different here, speaking about startups. And, you know, I bring people in the C-suite, in executive spaces, in human resources, in spaces that I don't usually move in to learn more. I believe that you should put yourself in spaces that you don't know a lot about to grow. And so having someone like Brad Englert on The Spheres of Influence is a great book to get if you are, you know, just looking to expand and really tap into wisdom. I would say wisdom is important when you're growing your brand, when you're growing yourself. I want to speak to female entrepreneurs right now. I am in the middle. We've got one more guest coming, hopefully. But I want to speak to female entrepreneurs right now. I'm finding myself in a shift. I love moments of transparency because I think it helps us. I often find this to be a challenge. Being single, meaning not married, but dating, of course, and being who I am, being a go-getter, and having the shift. Right now, there's a lot of shifts in a lot of industries. My industry is not exempt. Shifting from, you know, a lot of the celebrity events and brand placements. Of course, we're still doing them, but that being the lion's share of my focus. Of course, promotional videos and sizzle reels and production. The way that we stream, the way that we pitch, the way that we sell has changed, is changing, and will continue to change. It is just nature. It's the nature of life and business and technology and, you know, supply and demand. But I want to speak to the female entrepreneurs out there who feel alone or overwhelmed, or maybe I'm projecting because I often feel that way. You know, make sure whomever you're with, whomever you're dating, whoever is in your life understands you, understands how you started, where you are, where you're going, and is on board. Don't waste your time, that power, that life force that you're pouring into that relationship while pouring into your business or businesses or education, can be stifled. Make sure you can identify, just like in a business, if this person is with you, and if they're not, cut the cord. Do not waste time. Give yourself permission. Doesn't make you the B word. It doesn't make you bad. Have clear and beautiful communication and respectful communication, but stand up for yourself. There is someone out there that will understand and will support. And it gets murky when you talk about money and love and support. But I believe even if you're independent, the person you're with should be all the way on board with you, as you probably are with them. And I can sit here, say to this day, I've helped two gentlemen that I've dated in the past build their businesses, and they are successful and they're doing well and they're thriving. And I'm not saying it's because of me, but I'm not saying it's not because of me, but I'm saying I was all in with my heart, with my energy, with my money, with my words. And ladies, don't accept less. And it's scary already. You don't have to be alone. And I wanted to share that. All right. I think we have some notes in the chat. Yes, G. Scott Jacks is here. Woo woo. Hello, Greg. How are you? Welcome to The Startup.
Bonjour.
Bonjour, sir.
How's it going? I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Listen, I'm loving the background, the mirror and the colors. Welcome to The Startup. Thank you for being on. Let's do a full screen here. Go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us about who you are and what your brand is.
My name is G. Scott Jacks. I go by Scott, or also Jeebus. I've been rock climbing for the past 18 years. I've been all over it's taken me all over the world. And of course, when it comes to what I do, the ropes, they end up having to be retired, whether it be through wear and tear or just they could time out. Like the interior core could deteriorate just over time. It's just part of how the fabric works. So I've taken my old retired ropes and I've turned them into rugs. I have one right here. Cats love them. Have that one. And this is just one of multiple patterns that I can do. And I'm based out of Kansas City at the moment, but trying to, Kansas City, Missouri specifically. But just trying to see where this takes me now. So far, I've been climbing, and like one of the most popular questions I get is like, "Where's my favorite place to climb?" And to be completely honest, the sandstone down in Arkansas is just absolutely fantastic. It just feels like it grabs you back. Also, in that same vein, I also really enjoy climbing out at Red Rocks in Las Vegas, which is where Monique and I met, and.
Yes. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off, G. Scott.
No, it's perfect.
Thank you for the intro, and I love your mats. I think it's really interesting that you're saying Arkansas. I would have never guessed.
I know, right?
All the places we've talked about. I think you're even exploring going to Ecuador and somewhere else in Europe. Oh, where you're wanting to?
Yeah, I'm looking at Barcelona, Laos. Like you said, Ecuador and Peru, because Peru's got some amazing stuff I want to go check out. And then did I already say Barcelona? Yeah, I got a friend in Barcelona that wants me to come out and go climbing with her out there.
Yeah. So guys, I want to give you full disclosure here. G. Scott, I renamed him. Obviously, his name is Greg. G. Scott Jacks kind of has a ring to it. I think he's taken. Look at you have it on your signature, G. You're taking a liking to it.
Yeah. I mean, I have so many names and I respond to all of them. It's I have three first names and then I have another name that my friends have given me. And I think I just picked up another name the other day. Just
what?
It started as kind of like a social. It didn't, but it started out as kind of like a social experiment. Where it helped me figure out, I'm so talkative and I make friends everywhere I go. It's like when people would be like, "Hey Scott" or "Hey Gregory," and I'd be like, "That just," or "Hey Jeebus," and it'd be like, "Oh, that I know that person through this circle." And then I started noticing as the years went on, depending on what name I went by, what name people called me was changing my personality. It's like it was as if like each one of those names has a personality that I have allotted to that name. This has been a very interesting experience.
Well, I should call you late night Japanese tapas bar in Vegas because that's where.
Right?
Okay. Well, listen, I have had the pleasure of coming along with G. Scott, Greg, a part of Mexico that I'd never been in, Cabo. Usually I'm just kind of, you know, really intentional about going to the same places, but he expanded my mind and I'm always open to expanding my mind. And we went and we did a freestyle climb and I've never seen anyone jump on a rock with no shoes, gloves, or net. Actually, I've never seen anyone jump on a rock ever unless I was at the gym doing a rock climb. And G. Scott did it with ease. I think you had like yoga pants on. I can tell you, don't go so far up, G, because I don't have a paramedic and we have to take like a boat over here. It was crazy.
No, it was my Thai fisherman pants. I absolutely love them. But
that's awesome.
You also met me down in Oaxaca.
Yes.
Mexico.
Oh, we did. Yeah, we did two places. That's right. And Mezcal is the national breakfast drink. I didn't realize.
Oh, the mezcal down there is just phenomenal. I've become a bit of a snob with the mezcal.
Oh, darling, excuse me.
And it is actually really hard to find good mezcal in the States. And I've got a couple brands that I honestly wouldn't mind reaching out to see if I could be a sponsor or what does he call that? Brand ambassador.
You should just get your kicking on. Yes, climb me.
Yeah.
All right. So as you guys can probably tell, G and I have a very fun and relaxed working relationship and friendship. And I want to speak to what you're doing intentionally with a passion, right? A lot of entrepreneurs get caught up doing things they have to do for money, rather than doing things that come naturally. And from day one, and like you spoke to about the different names and monikers and experiences people have with you, G, what I recognized right off the bat was you're natural in your intentions with people. It's a free-flowing openness that is really, I don't see it often, right? And you're naturally engaging, but you really do create your next step with ease. Can you speak to that and how you've kind of tapped into that with your passion project now?
Well, yeah. So the whole reason, the things I'm able to do, it comes from my personality. The fact that I'm able to talk to whomever I want. In fact, last night I was out bar hopping downtown Kansas City, and I ended up meeting this guy who turns out to be a rapper, and he wants to see what I'm going to try and introduce him to some people that might help him out. But it all kind of starts with. Now, I've had years of experience with this, but one of my favorite stories to tell is the fact that I went, was able to go rock climbing in Cuba. And the rock climbing is fantastic, but to be completely honest, my experiences meeting people in Cuba was what really, that's really my passion. Like, I love rock climbing, but I love talking to people even more. In meeting people and seeing what they can teach me. I ended up meeting in downtown Havana. I ended up meeting the professor of Cuban history at Havana University, and he took me to a building that was where Che Guevara and Fidel Castro made their plans. They had turned it into an art museum, and they had a little bar in the foyer.
Of course you did. You found the bar in that place.
Yeah. And so we had drinks. We had a great discussion. And I love learning. That's another thing I love doing. I just love learning about the culture, where I'm at. I want to know everything. So I had also met some other people while I was there. Well, I became friends with some of those people, and it was for a New Year's Eve. One of them invited me down to Oaxaca, Mexico. I went down, met up with them, but her and her friends ended up getting very ill. And so they couldn't go out for New Year's. So I went out by myself. And that's where I ended up meeting Maritka, who has her doctor in archaeology. Both of us out to some of the ruins, and we took a tour of that. She gave us our own personal tour. And then I went back and met her husband, who grows agave and makes mezcal. So that's when I got all my he educated me on how mezcal is made and what makes it different from tequila specifically, and what makes it so unique. And then I went down and met him a few more times, and he's introduced me to even more. Like, I'm able to, take one interaction and turn it into several other interactions. And that's just how my life has always been. I've always been able to meet the most fascinating people through whatever it is, whatever hobby or whatever job I've taken on. And I just love it. Like you had said, the whole Ecuador thing, I was just meeting up with a friend of mine at a brewery here in town. And I ended up talking to this couple. The husband was from Ecuador. The wife was from Ukraine. And we had a great conversation about
geopolitics and just really in the past and seeing how where all of these different countries combine to create the problems and the good things of life. And so now I want to go down and check out Ecuador, and they're going to show me around. His sister teaches, she's into rock climbing and she teaches surfing. So I want to go meet up with her and do some surfing. And apparently she is friends with a guy who in the 60s or 70s, I'm forgetting the dates, climbed Mount Everest without any oxygen. He was like the first person to do that. So I really want to go and meet these people.
So, and you could teach a master class about speaking to people and networking. Because again, as he just told you guys, and as I've witnessed and you're witnessing now, it is truly amazing. It's natural. It's not forced. It's organic. So let's talk about the ropes.
Okay.
Hold your mat up again for us. What you're looking at here is G. Scott. He has climbed mountains around the world with these fibers, if you will. And they have to be retired after they get distressed so that he can remain safe.
Yeah.
And he's trying
to put my life on this.
He's put his life on that, guys. Yeah. So put those on your floor. Okay, on your balcony. So now he's starting a business where he's making mats and dog ropes, cat ropes. Talk to us about this venture.
I'm really into recycling and this new term upcycling, or I just repurpose. I like to repurpose these things. These things all have memories in them for me and other people. I would hate to see these just be thrown away. In fact, I have one rope that was given to me by a guy who does search and rescue in Washington State. And he gave me a rope that was used to save 3 people out of an avalanche in 2017. So, wow. And okay. the problem I'm running into with that one is like, which pattern really brings that history that rope has had to it, and not do something like, I have some really simple patterns and I have some very intricate patterns. So I'm like, and not to mention the ropes themselves have a pattern on them. And sometimes if you put that rope into a knot or one of my patterns for a rug, sometimes the pattern that the rope already has clashes with the, and it just becomes, you can't see the pattern that I've woven it into. So it's like, it's interesting.
Well, I love that. What you're saying about the avalanche survivors and the rope, and you're right, it holds a story. And you just gave me an idea. Here at the startup, we share ideas. You know, I think if you name the rugs after their history, that can add more value when you're selling them. This one being called the Avalanche, or this.
Oh yeah.
The Protector, or the Saver, or Mount.
That actually gives me an idea on like how to choose a pattern for it, like something that kind of resembles like a mountain
or a peak.
Yeah, because I do have. I don't have it here. The one I have here is like one of two that I still have at the house here. Whenever I make a new one, I take, there's 3 climbing gyms here in town that, have, allowed me to showcase my rugs at their gym.
Hold on. We're having a startup exclusive here. Let's congratulate G Scott for brand placement. Woo! We got to get some bells and whistles.
Awesome. Also, my brand. I haven't even said my brand name yet. It's Summits Past.
Congratulations. Summits Past has now got brand placement on the passion project that G. Scott has. G. Scott, give us the name of where people can pick your rug up.
You can find me at summitspast.com. I also have an Instagram, same name, Summits Past. You could just email me, because a lot of this stuff will be like commission work. I mean, I do have some pre-made ones, but I would love to do some like commission work. I've got like a whole bunch of ropes that we can pick from, the colors and different patterns, and and we can just go from there. And I like, you can pick through my catalog of different patterns that I can weave it into. So, and or yeah, so yeah. We're there.
Well, and you know, canopies for, you know, hotels or rugs for hotels. I think we need to think global and you know, act local, think global. But your rugs and your, and you know, your threads can be woven into materials for hotels and cruise ships, you know.
There's a bar in town called Afterward. They are a high-end cocktail and bookstore. I absolutely love that place. And they're wanting to.
I've been to a bookstore with your ass in Kansas.
And so I'm in talks with them. They're wanting to showcase some of my stuff and a couple other artists that I know. I just back to the whole networking thing. I just talk a lot, I guess.
Well, you talk with meaning and you talk with, honestly, I think that your book at the end of the, when you're sitting in your rocking chair and you're about to die, I think that whomever's on the other end of the rocking chair, may it be your family, friends, or all of it, all of the above. Wow, the stories. Wow, the stories you're going to have for them.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind. Everybody keeps telling me I should write a book about my life. I don't think I could do that. I could get a ghostwriter.
Absolutely. You guys, if you want to link up with G. Scott, if you have a facility that has rock climbing or you're interested in getting into that world, if you want to order a mat that has a beautiful story behind it, I'm sure G will be happy to handwrite you a note of where that mat's been, where those ropes have been, and give it a name and let you explore the experience of that and having a piece of that culture. Also, you're doing dog and animal leashes as well. You guys, reach out to G. Scott Jackson. G. Scott, give us your hashtag, your email. Where can they order once again?
Again, that's Summits Past. You can either hit me up on my website, summitspast.com. You can email me through the website or also reach out to me on Instagram at Summits Past on Instagram. I also have a Facebook, if that's still a thing. Still with the same name, Summits Past.
Yes. G. Scott and I are working on delivering a sizzle here soon. We've been working on it for a while. It'll have some clips of me following him around to these places and him sharing some of the things over the decades. And again, you're one of my favorite people on the planet, and it's really a pleasure to share a Sunday with you. And that smile, it warms my heart. And what do you want to leave us a little piece of knowledge or inspiration for that entrepreneur out there that has all these life experiences that is maybe sitting in this time where everything's shifting and they don't know what to do? What little tidbit would you give them? What would you
offer? The main thing that has gotten me through everything is don't be afraid. That seems to be one of the downfalls of social media is it all it's and what current media thrives on is bad news, and it's all like it's all just to make you afraid, and that keeps us from interacting with each other. It's what's divided us all, and I'm trying to like in my one person at a time or whatever, trying to break those walls down. I don't want to be told to not talk to people because they might be dangerous or something. Every person that I've met has had their own story and has had said who wants to tell their story. And I'm there to listen. I'm there to also entertain. I'm also able to keep a conversation going. Like, my life has been just, of course, it's easy to say and easier said than done. I get that. It's like right out of high school, I was homeless and was able to figure all that out. I was homeless for 2 years. Oh, there's a brewery in town that they took over this building that looks like an old castle. And I was in there one time and I was checking out their brewery. And I was like, holy crap. I used to squat in this building back in the 90s, and the owners heard me and they're like, are you serious? You used to squat in this building? Yeah, but none of the graffiti's mine. But yeah, I used to stay here. And they're like, your next beer's on us. So I was like, hell yeah.
And you guys, that right there is the heart of G. Scott turning a negative into positive. You can too. G, come back soon. Let's give you the whole hour. What will you start up today? Be well. We'll see you soon.
Bye.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.